And Obama moved closer in part because he is improving his standing among African-American voters. Black voters are crucial in Democratic primaries, which may be why extra attention will be paid to a ceremony this weekend. Civil rights leaders will mark an anniversary, and the speakers will include Senator Obama.
They'll commemorate Bloody Sunday. That's the day in 1965 that civil rights marchers were beaten in Selma, Alabama. So the occasion is solemn, but also inevitably political. Senator Hillary Clinton will also speak in Selma this weekend.
At his Capitol Hill office this week, Barack Obama spoke about the campaign and his coming journey to Selma. He was just 3 years old when the marchers were attacked there. He's going now at the invitation of one of the men who was beaten, Congressman John Lewis.
You know, it's something that I'd always wanted to do, and John Lewis is a dear friend and a hero of mine. He had been asking me repeatedly. This year he wanted me, and he also wanted me to speak at the event, and so I told my staff, let's really try to make it work this year.
When you talk about speeches, do you try to talk in the same way to a black audience as a white audience?
You know, I think that the themes are consistent. I think there's a certain black idiom that it's hard not to slip into when you're talking to a black audience because of the audience response. It's the classic call and response. You know, anybody who's spent time in a black church knows what I mean. And so, you get a little looser. It becomes more, a little more like jazz and a little less like a set score.
What about in questions of substance or what you emphasize?
Typically, that doesn't change. Whatever the audience, I'm typically talking about America's capacity to transform itself, our ability to change and make this a more just and equal nation, despite what look like daunting odds.
Given that you're running in Democratic primaries, where the black vote is so important, but other slices of the vote are very important too, do you feel that you have to prove yourself to black leaders or to civil rights leaders?
You know, I really don't. I think it's instructive to look at how I ran my U.S. Senate campaign. When I first started that race, I was not only registering poorly in the polls because nobody knew who I was, but it was really not that much different in the African-American community. And in the end, I ended up getting 80 or 90% of the African-American vote, but I also won the white vote. So I think that the African-American community is more sophisticated than I think the pundits sometimes give them credit for. The notion that right now I'm not dominating the black vote in the polls makes perfect sense because I've only been on the national scene for a certain number of years and people don't yet know what my track record is. And
will you need to dominate that vote in order to win?
I will be speaking to themes that are important to that community, but I don't expect to get monolithic African-American vote because I think that we have some strong candidates in the field and it would be presumptuous of me to assume that people would vote for me simply because of my race.
Hillary Clinton, who's also decided to speak in Selma this weekend, has a lot of black leadership support. Mm-hmm. Our correspondent, Juan Williams, recently interviewed a number of black leaders mm-hmm. about you. Mm-hmm. One of them was Bobby Rush, the congressman who defeated
right.
you one time.
He did more than just defeat me. He spanked me.
Well, he may. This may count as another spanking, I don't know, but I'll just read you this quote. He said, referring to you, "I'm a race politician and he's not. I don't compromise. I don't step back. I don't try to deny. I'm proud to be an African American." What's that make you think of when you hear a quote like that?
Well, you know, it's always hard for me to know the context of these quotes. I mean, Bobby's endorsed my race and encouraged me to get in. There's no doubt that in the history of African American politics in this country, there has always been some tension between speaking in universal terms and speaking in very race-specific terms about the plight of the African-American community. By virtue of my background, I am more likely to speak in universal terms.
May I read you another quote?
Please.
This is from Peggy Noonan, the Republican speechwriter, talking about another path-breaking politician, John F. Kennedy. She said of Kennedy, when he became president, "The good news was that the Irish Catholics had arrived. The bad news was that he was a Protestant from Harvard."
um,
You're from Harvard.
Yeah. Identity politics in this country are always going to be complicated, and African American politics in particular is weighted with extraordinary history, often painful and tragic history. And so I think my candidacy for the presidency is going to bring to the surface a whole bunch of stuff. A lot of it won't necessarily have to do with me, but will have to do with the country being in a dialogue about where we are now, how far we've come, and how far we have to go.
Do you think that your life or your experience as an African American would cause you as president to pursue any particular policy differently than if you had been white?
As president or in my...
As president.
In the past?
Would you be a different president in some way? Or whether there's something that you know that a white president would not know?
Well, I guess what I would say would be that there are certain instincts that I have that may be stronger because of my experience as an African American. I don't think they're exclusive to African Americans, but I think I maybe feel them more acutely. I think I would be very interested in having a civil rights division that is serious about enforcing civil rights laws. I think that when it comes to an issue like education, for example, I feel great pain knowing that there are children in a lot of schools in America who are not getting anything close to the kind of education that will allow them to compete. And I think a lot of candidates, Republican and Democrat, feel concern about that. But when I know that a lot of those kids look just like my daughters, maybe it's harder for me to separate myself from their reality. Every time I see those kids, they feel like a part of me.
Well, Senator, thanks very much for your time.
Had a great time. Thank you.
You can hear about Senator Barack Obama's campaign fundraising at NPR.org. Now, the candidate is often compared to a rock star, and as soon as he finished with us, the senator threw open his office door and said hello to an actual rock star. He welcomed the next visitor who'd been waiting to see him, the lead singer of U2, Bono.